time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 10th of August 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. I'm Chris Walker, and on Saturday the 10th of August, I talked to Waiheke Local Board Chair Faye Storer about the decision to send the marina proposal directly to the Environment Court. Opinionated Islanders Alan Knight and Alex Stone with their take on the people standing for the local board election, and I talked to Councillor Mike Lee with his opinion on the marina proposal. So yesterday a council committee heard the made the decision really about whether the marina proposal was to go through a full hearings process or to go straight to the Environment Court, and made the decision 4-3 that it would in fact go to the Environment Court. So here to talk about that is local board chair Faye Storer. Good morning, Faye.
Good morning, Chris.
So what are your feelings on that outcome?
Well, I think we just have to clarify exactly what happened, first of all. So there's still going to be a hearing. It's just that it's going to be at the Environment Court with Environment Court rules and responsibilities and rights, which are actually higher than a council hearing anyway, rather than be heard locally by commissioners. So it's not all bad news. There are some distinct advantages in going straight to the Environment Court, in that the submitters not only have the right to be heard, they also have the right to be involved in pre-hearing talks and mediation, all sorts of things like that. So I wouldn't take it to be necessarily a bad thing.
So you were in favour of it going straight to the Environment Court?
I'm not in favour of either. It's a bit of a six of one, half a dozen of the other. The Resource Management Act quite clearly allows a direct referral to the Environment Court, and that's relatively new. Now, when you try and find out if there are any criteria, there actually aren't any criteria, so the committee hasn't had a very easy decision to make, unless, of course, and I don't know this, whether or not Auckland Council has drawn up its own criteria and guidelines for a decision like this. But they have to weigh up a lot of factors, like the bulk of the submission material, bulk of the application material, and in this case it is going to be horrendous. Also, where would you accommodate a hearing such as this? How long is it going to go for? If you're going to have it in something like the Ostend Hall, how many weeks can you hold up the Ostend Hall for? What do you do with all the paperwork, bringing experts out from town and all the rest of it? So logistically, I can see that there are some advantages in it going to the Environment Court. In terms of access for submitters, and of course this is the very, very important thing, because submitters do have a right to be heard. Yes, they definitely do have that right to be heard, and as I say, in fact they have far more rights than they do at the council hearing level to be involved in the hearing. So in a lot of ways I think this is going to be very thorough, but it's, as I say, one here and one there. It's simply one of those decisions the committee has had to make, and of course it is the committee's delegated authority to make that decision.
There was a recommendation from council officers that they do go through the full process to allow the large number of submitters who wanted to be heard to be heard. And, you know, obviously many of those won't be able to participate in the Environment Court hearing. So given the number of submitters, given that, you know, the difficulty of people being able to participate in the Environment Court, and a report from the council officers recommending it, were you surprised that the committee then decided otherwise?
I was a little surprised. I think it could have gone either way. As I say, it was a bit of teetering each way. But I have read the agenda report, and I have seen the officer's recommendation. The interesting thing about the officer's recommendation is it does recommend a council hearing. But in terms of its reasoning, it quite frankly, in my reading, is slightly on the behalf of the Environment Court referral. So I think the officers did the right thing. I think they started from the bottom. They started saying, right, local hearing run by council, they've looked at all the different sort of criteria and reasoning you could think of. And as I said, there's no criteria under the Resource Management Act. It's what anyone can come up with. Although there is an indication that, in fact, if they are very complex hearings, likely to last a long time, have a lot of people involved, that a direct referral can be a good thing, because the reality is, if you've got a council hearing and it's going to be appealed anyway, there's no doubt about this. If it's approved or declined, this application will be appealed. So it will end up in the Environment Court. But so I think there is a misunderstanding that the Environment Court immediately says that, well, they've missed out a step. They haven't. It's just a different kind of step, and it's extremely comprehensive. So I think it probably could have gone either way. It would be helpful to know what guidelines or criteria they use, assuming they have some, because not all councils do. And I understand that they gave reasonings for their decision, even though they don't have to unless they turn it down. I don't have those, but I've certainly asked to see them, because I'm interested to see on the what balance they've done this.
There are certainly people, Mike Lee is one of them, a councillor, who believe that if the board had spoken in favour of the full hearings process, that that would have been enough to sway the decision.
Well, I don't think that. I think, okay, let's look at it. The board didn't discuss this at all. The board's made input, and I say that in inverted commas because we're not allowed to submit, made input into the reporting officer, so that input will be discussed and taken into consideration by the commissioners. I think you have to be very careful about political interference in these things. Everyone is entitled to a fair process, and the RMA is very clear about that. In fact, it's so big on natural justice, that, as it should be, that you have to be very careful what you do. Now, in this decision by the council committee, submitters are not permitted to be heard. Now, technically, the local board wasn't a submitter, because local boards are not allowed to submit. And they're not allowed to submit, that's a decision of the governing body, because they're not allowed to appeal. But we have had input, and you'll see if you've read it that the board has stated quite serious concerns about aspects, in particular transport or traffic and roading. Now, if you really wanted to split hairs on this, you might say that the board, in fact, in inverted commas, has submitted. So I think you've got to be very careful about having a bite at both cherries. And in my view, the council committee had a job to do, and they've done it. Sometimes you are better to stand back and let things take their course, and that way you can't be accused of political interference.
Yes, but in this case, the decision was not actually about the marina. The decision was about what process should be followed in hearing it. Now, under the standing orders, there is a place in those committees for the local board chair to speak. And that's part of that's an agendaed item in there that the local board chair can speak. Now, despite the fact that you've had input into the marina issue, the issue that was in question yesterday was about the hearing process, a separate issue. You were able to participate to speak to that, but you chose not to.
That's right. I chose not to. The board hasn't taken a position on this. The board hasn't discussed it. The application didn't come to the board. In fact, the application from the applicant's lawyer, as it should have, went directly to the council's planning officer, and I think was written around about the 7th of July. So that hasn't been on a board agenda. You've got to be very careful. Some people want to say, well, what does the board say? Well, the board makes resolutions, and if the board makes a resolution, had the board considered it and made a resolution on it, then you could fairly go and say, this is what the board thinks. This is not what the board thinks, because the board didn't discuss it. So technically, no, you couldn't do that. I was asked as the planning advisor by the reporting planner if I had a view on it, bearing in mind that, in fact, the planning advisor for the board doesn't have any delegated authority to have a view on these. And I certainly had a long chat with the senior planner down here. And what we did is we worked through all those criteria, bearing in mind that we are very concerned about there being natural justice and fair process. And I think the officer's recommendation reflects that conversation, and that it's my view that you start from the bottom. And so that's what the officer's recommendation said, and the committee have chosen otherwise. For what reasons, we'll see. So, I've got no problem with the process as it is.
So there was a large number of submissions, 800 submissions, roughly 10% of the population of the island. You've got, a long background and involvement in planning. I mean, would you see that as a significant number of submissions?
It is a significant number, and I'm sure the council committee took that into consideration. Was if I had been on the council committee, which obviously I'm not, I would certainly take that into consideration. But it's not the only consideration, and this is what they've had to weigh up, and they've made a choice, and it's not negotiable. They've made a choice. One assumes they have weighed up the number of submissions. They've weighed up how easy it is to get to town. They've weighed up how many people wish to be heard, which I think was over 300, but was half of who made submissions. They will also have looked at the logistics of having the hearing down here, and then the logistics of it's going to be appealed anyway. So those people who are going to follow this through to the bitter end will be going to the Environment Court. But again, I think this goes back to a misunderstanding. I've spoken to several people about this, and I've said, well, if it does go there, what is your problem? One, they say, I won't be heard. I say, that's not correct. You just sign up as a Section 274 party. The form is online, and that will, in fact, give you more rights than you would ever have at a council hearing, where basically you're walking in, speaking to your submission, walking out again. Of course, it's taken into consideration. But having said that, you can't bring up anything at a hearing that you haven't put in your submission. So what these people have put in their submissions, and the board in our input, is what they will speak to. So in terms of that, I think, if you look at it rationally, there are some distinct advantages in going to the Environment Court. There's a misunderstanding by a lot of people who are getting upset that, in fact, they have been kept out of a democratic process. They have not. And in fact, as I say, the Environment Court bends over backwards, although it has to have a formal process, because it's a judicial process, to make it informal and to make the lay person comfortable and to be able to speak to what they're speaking to. So it's not just all about experts and lawyers, and as one person said, I have to engage a lawyer. That's not correct.
So the number of submissions, the number of people who asked to be heard, the fact there was a march would indicate that there is a strong opinion on the island around this issue, and a strong opinion that people wanted to go through the process prior to the Environment Court. Now, one of the duties of a local board is to identify and communicate local views on regional and wider issues. So, given those number of submissions, given the number of people who wanted to speak, isn't it your duty to identify that and to communicate through the standing orders in your role as board chair that the people of this island wanted the full process?
No, I don't think that's correct. What people marched about and what they submitted about was a marina, not whether or not they wanted it heard at the Environment Court. The point is, I can't stress enough that this is not a numbers game. I said at the time that having a march was very good and it was very community spirited, but it actually has no impact whatsoever on the hearing of the submissions. And with the submissions, which I know are going to be very thorough, not liking a marina or wanting a marina or wanting it or not wanting it are actually not issues that are going to be taken into consideration. The Resource Management Act, which I'm not going to attempt to defend because, quite frankly, I think it's a monster, and I'm not going to defend the committee's decision because I wasn't on it, but I'll read you what the RMA Part 2 is about. It is all about purpose is to promote the sustainable management of natural and physical resources. It's not about the applicant being a bad guy and the submitters being good guys, or the applicant being a bad guy, a good guy, and whatever. It's not about that. So when people are submitting, they have got to have factual things or views on what impact it will have on the environment, on the sustainable management of natural and physical resources. And so shows of strength or shows of might and shows of numbers, while they're very important and they do indicate how many people are involved, they do not decide an environment RMA hearing. And as I say, we have to go back to this thing. This Environment Court thing is not missing out a process. It is a different process which is permitted under the RMA.
Yeah, that's fine, but the key issue here is about the will of people about what kind of process is entailed, and the duty of the board to identify and communicate that view. So what process, you know, if any, did the board or yourself as the board chair follow to identify the view of the community around what process should be followed here and then communicate that?
Chris, the issue of whether it went to the Environment Court or not was never came near the board, and let me say submitters, as far as I know, and I haven't seen the submissions as such, although I know the numbers, did not write down, I want this to be heard locally, or may not, it might actually have ended up in being town because there wouldn't be a venue for it here. So it doesn't necessarily mean it would have been held on Waiheke. It simply means it would have been a hearing run by council and council administrators with council-appointed commissioners. So in terms of this application to the Environment Court, that is a letter dated round about the 7th of July, which is way after submissions closed, by the applicant's lawyer to the planning officer asking for this to be have. It hasn't been to the submitters, it hasn't been out for public notification, it hasn't been near the board.
Yes, but the board has the ability to, and in this case, particularly the local board chair, has the ability to address the committee and express the views of the community. It seems that it wouldn't be that difficult, just from the energy and the involvement so far, to assess what the view of the community might be about the process. And that's one of the duties you have as the board chair, to identify and communicate our community's views.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this, Chris. What you're asking is that the board chair goes up and says there are a significant number, or there are a number, because there's no way of assessing how many of those people are, a number of people who would like this held locally. Or, but at the end of the day, it has to be an assessment by the committee according to whatever criteria they have worked out as to what is the fairest, most best way for this to proceed. Am I surprised, as I say, with the number of submissions? Yes, that is a little bit surprising, but it's, and it would have been taken into consideration. So now I don't consider it my role to go up there and act as an advocate to say there are some people in the community who wish this to be heard locally. Mike Lee did that, and that's excellent, and I knew Mike Lee was going to do that. Did it have the desired effect? Did people going up there have the desired effect? No, unfortunately it didn't. I don't know what you can read into that. Should people appear, or should they just leave the committee to their job? We don't know, because this is the way it's come out. But no, I don't see that as my job at all.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Faye.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I'm joined by the opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight, and that one there will be Alex Stone.
Good morning. Thank you. Yeah, we are.
Good morning.
All right, so we're
starting for the opinion that it was a really boring Clash track.
You don't like that one?
They had their moments, but my God, they could be boring and pompous sometimes.
Yeah, but hang on, are we not giving it a fair go? Because the Clash needs to be going at full volume, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think when they strayed into that kind of boring reggae stuff, it just it was very annoying.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
you got to kick off with an opinion.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're here for.
It reminds me of the time when I was a university DJ, and we were actually playing the Clash in those days, and we were the first to play the Police in the benighted country. And one day, just to spread people's minds, I played a Dolly Parton track. And there were hordes bashing down the glass windows outside my booth. It wasn't a pretty sight.
Turn that horrible noise off.
Anyway.
So on Friday of next week, nominations close for the local board, and then we'll be fully into election season. But, you know, it's you can go hunting politicians early. So,
well, yes.
Yeah, so
what intrigues me is, will there be a late runner? Because, you know, you'd think if you want to put your name up, you'd put it up early so you can have a few more weeks of your name being out there. But
who knows what may happen. So we've got some contenders who've put themselves out there at the moment. So I thought we should start into that and have a bit of a talk about, you know, who's standing and how that's all looking and lying.
Well, it seems to me like there is a fairly concise lineup of opposition here. And the name of the game is regime change.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Well, I love the implied superiority of the A-team.
Yes.
They listing themselves as the A-team. And
what does the A stand for? Awkward?
No, I think it's...
Antagonistic?
I think it's all to do with how you pronounce it. I think it's the A-team. You know, because, yes. You know, when you think of one of their candidates' splendid abilities in listening, it's not exactly it's the A team ear behind, you know, it's the not listening team.
That's right. Yes. Was there an awkward whining noise? Oh yes, it's the sound of the majority of the community wishing that we'd listen to them.
Yeah, I even took it upon myself as research for this morning to drive along the Esplanade, and I must admit the traffic calming inverted commas had quite the opposite effect. I found it to be quite a challenging traffic difficulty exercise, you know. Have you been along there where you got to...
No, I still haven't driven down there yet.
Tell you, there's more than 100 signs. So it's this plethora of signs. You can hardly see the view for the signs. And every so often there's a wooden gate, which I seriously thought there was about 2 inches of clearance on either side of the car. So you have to line up, get yourself all tensed up to get through this gate. And you crawl through, obviously. This is calming, but you're really scared you're going to crash the car. They're very, very narrow gates. And I had this thought, like, what about the poor old ambulance or the fire engine? If there is, you know, half of the idea of keeping the road open was an emergency.
Well, they can open them. They swing those things open.
They swing the blocks open. So you have the vision of the ambulance driver heading off to an emergency and stopping every so often to open these wee little gates. That's not exactly calming.
But it may be a question of when was the last time an ambulance actually needed to go around there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, it was just going back to Alan's point, you know, that was a situation where, wasn't there a public meeting where 100 people, four keeping the Esplanade closed and one or two against, and the A-team considered that the majority.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, it's funny what a majority can look like when you look at it in the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was amazed to get in here this morning and realise that the community board chairperson had left the Stora bunker and actually emerged in public. It's like, gosh, there must be an election coming up. You know, Faye Stora has been very, very low key. Big change from the way she used to be when she was local councillor.
Yeah.
When she was very accessible, was always at the market and everything. She's keeping a very low profile.
Yeah.
But what interests me is, as we go into this election, are we going to see public meetings? And will the A team actually want to front up? Because it's not going to be easy for them.
I get the impression the election is going to especially the A team, but most of the candidates are wanting to make it very low key. Let's just sweep in and we'll be fine, you know.
Well, I mean, Chris, as you say, if we can get to next Friday without too many unpleasant surprises of people blundering into the arena, because we do have quite a good solid opposition forming up, and so long as we don't get a repeat of last time where, you know, you get upwards of a dozen people going, oh, I think I should have a go, you know, and all you're going to get is 150 votes.
Mm. Yeah, there were 17 candidates last time, we just don't know.
But this time there are 6 or 8.
So we've got 7 declared candidates that I can think of.
Yeah.
So we've got Faye, Joe and Don, the A-team.
Three, yeah.
We have essentially Waiheke, which is Paul 3. Walden, Beadle Trewell and Bex Ballard and Sharon Brown.
So it's 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a theme I bang on about, but I'm wondering where the eccentrics are. You know, what's happened to the real colourful Waiheke character?
I think this time around that's not what we need.
Good point.
You know, I'd be the last person to say that Waiheke doesn't need eccentric candidates, but no, I think this time around there is an important issue at stake here, so, and you know, we've had a very unsatisfactory board who I think really need to be shown the error of their ways.
What intrigues me about this board is unwillingness to go into sort of certain big community issues like the Marina proposal, for instance.
This is what we've just heard.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, you actually managed to get that admission that it is not the job of the board to advocate on behalf of the community. Goodness.
Oh, that's when
who knew?
Well, that's when you say, eh?
Yeah.
But, you know, so the people who, and they do seem to be positioning themselves as direct opponents to the current board incumbents, are they up to the job?
Yes, I'd say so. You know, The one difficult part of the job is to know all the ins and outs of bureaucratic processes. And for what we've said about Faye, she's very good at that. And I think you still need that skill on the board, but I'd like...
Well, there was always, you know, there's always been the saying of Faye Storer that she's a career politician. No, she's a career bureaucrat. I mean, a politician, the whole point about being a politician is avoiding obvious pitfalls.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, she proved that within a few days of the last election. That whole ugly business at the swearing-in could all have been avoided if she just had the patience to wait until the board was sworn in, then start leaning on Denise Roche.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, she couldn't wait. She just had to do it there and then. As a result, of course, the swearing-in turned into a massive demonstration, which, I mean, I wouldn't personally have missed for the world.
Mm.
But it showed incredibly poor timing on
Faye Storer's
part.
The A-team itself also was a bit rude and ganging up on Denise, you know. We've kind of forgotten that a wee bit.
Yeah, it was the complete exclusion of Paul Walden from pretty much anything to do with the board.
Yeah.
I was also most amused to see on Joe Holmes' blog page this thing about how the A-team... Faye and Don and myself have fought hard for the last 3 years. It's amazing how Jim Hannon disappears.
From the A-team.
Oh, was there another bloke? Oh, yes, there was, wasn't there? There was that funny little bloke. Yes, but he was weak. He wasn't one of us. We took him to the vet and had him put down.
Well, what did they fight hard for, shall we say?
Well, I don't know. It's, well, closing down the food carts, I suppose. It's funny how they'll tell us that, oh, it's nothing to do with us when it suits them.
Hmm.
But again, this is another thing which intrigues me, is this complete lack of any political nous. Pick a fight with two popular street traders just before the election. I mean, that is dumb.
Yeah.
I was talking to...
Are we talking about the carts?
Yes, the coffee cart and the
burger cart. Well, did you see Beetle Treadwell's letter in the Gulf News yesterday?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, Beetle wrote a letter in favour of them.
Yes.
Which I think is... like you say, if you might be a clever little campaign ploy.
Well, you do tend to see a lot of letters popping up from people who've never written letters before. Don't you?
Oh, yes. You always know it's
once they've got their name on the ballot paper, they're a firm fan of writing letters.
But you really have to wonder what the thinking is. Why is it all of a sudden so important that two harmless street traders be moved from a position which they have paid a vast amount of money to be sitting on? Why is that suddenly so important, and doesn't it show very questionable judgment to start doing it just when there's an election coming up? And these guys have gathered close to 1,000 signatures so far.
Oh, to keep themselves there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good.
The support of the community is massive. We haven't heard a single voice apart from the community board opposing them. There have been no complaints.
Yeah.
So what's it all about?
Yeah. Well, just going back to the opposition, the idea of your, what you say is a credible opposition, they've got a very splendid website. Have you seen it?
No. Essentially Waiheke website.
Bex
it is
Carter,
very...
Sorry, I got the wrong name. Bex
Ballard.
Ballard, yeah. She apparently has IT skills, and it shows in this website. It's very flash, yeah.
Because, I mean, to begin with, you see this small team, essentially Waiheke, emerge. I mean, Paul Walden, fair enough. Now, he also, I think, has shown some questionable political judgment.
Yeah.
But one thing that's been clear right from the start is he does get the bureaucratic stuff. His grasp of the paperwork and the council obfuscation is really quite impressive.
I quite like his passion as well. You know, like, he puts his money where his mouth is. Like, he's done extraordinary work, say, with the Sea Scouts.
Yeah.
There's like a waiting list to become a little Sea Scout at the moment because Paul's done so well. There's, you know, dozens and dozens of kids doing good stuff. And he just goes out and does that kind of stuff with a great passion. Yeah.
Beetle Treadwell, I think, was an excellent idea.
I think she's a great
choice. Couldn't go far wrong with her as a choice for candidate.
Terrific, yeah.
Do we know anything about what she'll be like as a politician?
Well, no, but...
I've known her to be a very wise person, so I'll go with that.
Okay, you know, this is the thing about, experience. Well, who has got experience until they try?
Well, it goes back to my theory. I'm sure I've expounded this one before, but at national level politics, I've said the way to stop war overnight is to make the only allowable candidates for prime ministers should be midwives, because then they won't send the boys off to war. It's too simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Just growing on that, Beatle is an experienced midwife, so she has a lot of wisdom about humanity, shall we
say. And then, of course, you have Beck's Hi, I Just Arrived Ballard, who, does seem quite eloquent, quite onto it.
And they're part of the community.
Maybe somebody who doesn't come preloaded with preconceptions and ideas about the island might be just what we need.
No, that's fine. I'd like to get to know her a bit better through the campaign. And then, of course, there's Shirin Brown, who we do know quite well.
Ah, yes. Well, Shirin, good, safe pair of hands as far as I can see. She's, she's smart. Dedicated to it.
I think some people would see her as a sort of lefty greeny candidate.
Well, yes.
But she's very much a social activist, whereas the A team seem to, as we said earlier, aren't exactly social activists.
No.
Yeah.
So long as we don't get this sudden rush of spoiler candidates coming along at the end. Mm. See, I was looking back through the numbers this week. Going back through the results from the last election.
There's homework for you. Well done.
Yes. I don't do statistics very well, but it's interesting when you look at the vast division in the vote on Waiheke between for Mike Lee and Alex Sweeney last time round. And if you count up the votes, I mean, if you discount a couple of the less credible candidates. And I've also set aside Colin Bearden's candidacy, because that really was a very one-issue candidacy. If you strip away all of those and you look at the difference between the left-leaning vote and the right-leaning vote, it's overwhelming.
For Mike.
Yeah. But also for the local community board members.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, Denise Roche was the only one to actually top the 2,000 mark.
Yeah, and then if you took all the dozen or so left-leaning candidates,
yes,
you'd
have to say that the left-leaning vote is overwhelming on this island, and it's no good trying to pretend it isn't. You can sit there talking to the golf club and the Rotary Club as much as you like, but really they don't have the numbers.
Yeah, I suppose that's how it is when you have a large gated estate, yeah. But they do have a higher percentage of voting, those kind of people, generally.
Well, no, if the numbers from last time are anything to go by.
Yeah.
But the big question, of course, is will the vote remain solid this time round, or will we see a slight drop-off? My guess would be we'd see maybe 10% less time.
I think we'll see a drop-off, because there's nothing that contentious.
And I think also because last time it was something of a new thing. It's, the super city, the new local board and everything. People might have been tempted to actually open the damn envelope and fill it in.
And also there were so many people standing that even if their brother voted for each one of them, that's going to lift the turnout, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, you may well see this time around that we've got maybe a 10% drop-off of people going, oh, it's just politics as usual.
So, I mean, another way of looking at this, you can kind of frame it as a left-right kind of divide. Another way, I suppose, of framing it is around experience, inexperience. Mm. So, as we say, we've got two of the essentially Waiheke people who haven't got political backgrounds. Shirin hasn't got the political background. Yeah. And you talked about Paul's, that you felt a lack of political judgment exhibited. And certainly there's been, a conduct hearing around his involvement. So is it really going to come down to that experience versus inexperience?
Yeah.
Well, I think too much is made of experience very often in politics. I mean, people going into actual parliament, very few of them have much in the way of experience apart from maybe running a law firm or a medical practice.
The deepest irony there is the people with the experience that make the biggest mistakes. Richard Nixon being a case in point, or Nick Smith in New Zealand. Too much experience leads to a little bit of hubris. And
Faistora is an example of exactly that. I mean, she's the one with the most experience, and her judgment has been catastrophic.
Hmm.
I mean, you really can't imagine that she's picked up any new votes over the last 3 years. I mean, a lot of people must have voted for her last time round, imagining that she was still the nice left-leaning councillor that she'd always been.
I know a lot of people who voted thinking she'd be a stabilising influence, but then the Denise Roche debacle
was
the opposite of that.
So it would be very, apart from obviously the more sort of I guess rednecked people at the golf club and so forth, they might have changed their tune. I mean, they were the kind of people who 6 or 7 years ago were going, oh, bloody fairy story, yes, just a greeny, not just another greeny hippie. But I think they've actually come around to thinking, oh, actually, maybe she is one of us.
Now, what do you think the tone of the election will be like?
It seems subdued. Well, it appears that way right now, but who knows? Waiheke has an amazing ability to generate a drama. It seems to be in our genes. I heard a lovely definition of a true Waihikian these days. Do you remember Joe Waite? He used to drive around the island in a yellow Ford Model T.
Lovely character.
His definition of a true Waihikian is a person who could get into a room by him or herself and get an argument going.
Yes.
so maybe if the election seems a little bit dull, you know, if it seems dull now, hang on, give us a few weeks, we'll find something to argue about.
Well, I mean, you ask about the tone of the election. One of the things will be, will the local press decide to engage this time around? Because they certainly didn't last time. I mean, I can't imagine the marketplace will. That seems to have given up really doing anything apart from printing what they're told to by Fairfax. Will the Gulf News rise to the occasion? You know, do they have anyone currently writing for them who has the get up and go to actually cover the election in any detail?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm sure they will. Liz has got some of the issues are very dear to Liz's heart, so she certainly will pursue them. Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly going to be all over it on One Way Hickey. I've been trying to get some time this week to start the coverage rolling. The other question will be how will the public meetings develop? Because you'd really have to wonder whether Faye and Don and Joe really want to start addressing anybody except the golf club and the Rotary.
Yeah, some of these issues might develop into contentious ones. I'm not up to speed. Does anyone know what happened at the meeting for the marina applicants to sidestep the consultation process?
Yeah. So that's going straight to the Environment Court.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
So that's what we were talking to Faye about earlier. Mm. So 4-3 vote of that committee.
Straight to the Environment Court. And what were the grounds for that?
Basically that it was going to go there anyway. So you might as well just cut out all the expensive waffling and just get straight to
business. Correction. What you're cutting out is democratic waffling, because when you get to the Environment Court, it becomes expensive. So you and I can make a submission and be heard in a normal democratic way for the marina process. But when it gets to the Environment Court, you and I would have to hire a fancy lawyer.
Well,
according
to Faye Storer, no, you won't.
According to Faye, you don't. You can you sign up as a 274 applicant or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can defend yourself or say your own piece.
There's some process apparently.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
It gets pretty arcane.
Gosh.
But if we have this, if we do have the opportunity to ask of the incumbent board, because one of the things we heard over and over again last time round was, if I'm elected, I will listen.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us will want to know, well, what happened to that? Because that disappeared pretty much immediately, didn't it? Obviously, it was, but we didn't say who we'd listen to.
the majority at the Esplanade debates, for instance.
Yeah.
and it does appear, you know, from some of the electioneering going on already, say, you know, that there could be quite a bit of fire, say, particularly between Joe Holmes and Paul Walden. She's got her eyes very firmly set on him. I don't think she's made a blog post that doesn't refer to him. And, I mean, you know, and fair enough. I mean, there's a significant number of projects around the island which he voted against. You know, she's pointing that out. I mean, she's not saying anything inaccurate, but I can anticipate we might get some fire there.
Hmm.
Well, I do hope so. I mean, you know, it would be a shame if this election didn't produce some quite interesting fireworks, but I personally do hope that the incumbents have shown the error of their ways, because I think they have handled this very poorly.
Mm. Well, the listening thing is the biggest one for me.
Yeah, the listening. It's
just...
And also, of course, there was that we heard the repeated mantra from Jim Hannon about it's all about jobs.
Mm.
Well, that's brilliant, Jim. How would you feel as one of your last actions on the board to put a couple of people out of work? They really don't have a leg to stand on this one.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. I hope we can generate enough interest in the community for a high turnout. We do need. I think we should have a high turnout.
Yes, and I think another slogan that needs to be doing the rounds is "Don't forget, you get 5 votes." Because I'm amazed every election. People I've known for a while who I know to be intelligent people go, "Oh, I couldn't work out who to vote for," and it's like, "Well, you get 5, do you?"
Mm.
Oh, I just thought it was the one vote.
Mm. Well, you do get the one. Well, there's the one vote for the councillor, isn't there?
Yes. Mm.
And is Mike Lee unopposed?
Mike Lee, I'm going to be on the phone to Mike Lee in just a few minutes. Yeah. He's in town in the rain putting up his election placards.
But is he? He's pretty much unopposed.
Well, there'll be people. No, there'll be people standing for
no,
sure.
No, but from our perspective, you know, from the Waiheke perspective, someone we know.
No, he's, you know, he's barely put a foot wrong as far as Waiheke's concerned. Yeah. A lot of faith was put in him from this community at the last election, and I think he's lived up to that. Mike Lee, chap.
Yeah, good old Mike, yeah.
Yes, and then the mayoral election seems to be, well, it was not nearly as contentious as last time.
No. Yeah, but I do think that, the Minto platform about the free public transport, I think it needs a bit of teasing out. It's actually quite an interesting one, and it's very, very far forward thinking, shall we say. It needs a bit of looking at. It really does. What do you think?
I dislike John Minto intensely.
you had a sceptical look on your face while I was talking.
I just grew up listening to people like him, and I've heard it all before. Yeah. No, I've no time for the men.
But you're right. I think it appears there's a single dominant candidate. And
I don't think the Auckland mayoral elections are really going to get interesting until Kim.com.
Well, do you think he's going to put
it? Well, he ought to. I don't know if he will, it's definite that he should.
Yeah.
Now, he'd be an interesting
There's
mayor.
A lovely historical connection. In the First World War, a German sea raider, a guy called Count Felix von Lucknow, was imprisoned on Motuhee Island.
That's right, he was, yes.
And he was basically a pirate. Or he was sanctioned by the German. He was a German naval officer, but he went around catching ships in the South Pacific, but in a very gallant way. He'd ask people politely to get off their ships and into the lifeboats and then sink the ships. It didn't hurt many people at all. Eventually got captured and was imprisoned on Motuhee and then escaped because the old dad's army that was looking after him weren't quite up to it. But he came back to New Zealand as a celebrity. And he did a national tour speaking, and everyone was, yay, all for this guy. There's some interesting comparisons, a celebrity pirate German raider dude.
Yes!
taking on the New Zealand, getting on side with the New Zealanders. And old .com, you know.
Yes, maybe this is history repeating itself.
Yeah,
The strange German who came over and impressed us all.
Well, what amazed me about the the present national government seems to be very much driven by polls, and they've very effectively buried a poll of about 2 weeks ago when people remember there was exchange between .com and Key saying, "I know, you know," and it was all a bit sort of schoolyardish. But they did a poll on that, and the majority, 60% of people, believe .com.
Yeah.
and so here we're in an interesting situation where the German pirate suspect. Criminal, whatever he is,
want him to be telling the truth.
He's more than the
he's fun.
the prime minister. That's a lovely situation. Yeah.
I think we might still see a little more come out there.
Oh, definitely.
Oh yes. Well, .com has all along been saying, "Wait till my September court hearing," and I imagine there's a bit of scurrying behind the scenes to try and hide evidence and stuff because. There might be.
Good. Yes. I look forward to it. It's going to be lovely.
All right. So let's wrap it up. I'd need to ring Mike Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, do.
And
we'll send him our best regards.
Next month, we will have the firm list of candidates. So we'll be able to find if it has kind of remained tight as it is at the moment or whether or not we are back into the.
In fact, let's say it right here and now. No spoiler candidates. Come on, people. You know who you are.
Now, the last thing we should just mention is the balance of the new board, because there really we said there's 7 people standing, so there are only 2 new places on the board. So we need to vote in such a way that one team can't dominate the other in the way it happened in the past. So look for some sort of balance in the board. If you're thinking of candidates across the spectrum, look for a balance. Without,
well, what people have figured out is you only need three. You know, you only need three, and then you do what you want.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we maybe any block of three should be avoided. Yeah, just a thought.
All right, opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight, Alex Stone. Thank you very much for joining us.
You next month.
Yes, see you next month.
Waiheke Radio.
You're on Waiheke Radio, and this is Island Life, looking at local people, events, and issues. I've got Mike Lee, the ward councillor for the Waitemata and the Gulf Islands. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Chris.
So you're out and about putting up your election placards, I understand.
Yes, we're over in the city putting up our signs, Don McKinnon Drive.
A bleak, miserable day to be doing that.
Yep, keeps you warm.
Now, what we got you on the line to talk about, of course, is this decision yesterday made by a council committee to send the marina proposal directly to the Environment Court. A decision you're not happy with?
I'm very unhappy. The notified public process was quite a rare one nowadays. Most resource consents are non-notified, and about 98.something% of resource consents in Auckland are non-notified. So this was a publicly notified resource consent, and 800 people responded to it, wrote submissions, and halfway through the process, the developers, lawyers, saw permission from the council to go straight to the Environment Court and abort the process halfway through, which is quite extraordinary. And even worse, really, the council committee, hearings committee, agreed to it. It was a divided vote, but still, by a majority of one, they decided to stop the process, abort the process, and send the application straight to the Environment Court.
And so what do you believe will be the impact for, you know, for submitters? I mean, there were many hundreds of submitters, but what difference does it make for them to go to the Environment Court?
It makes a huge disadvantage to the people who are concerned about the marina, because they will be unable to make their concerns known at a local level. They'll have to go into the formal environment of a court, and they'll have to be able to be willing to be cross-examined by Queen's councillors and other experienced barristers. That is a whole new way of doing things in New Zealand. It's the result of changes to the Resource Management Act by the national government a couple of years ago, but this is the first major one that will impact on our local community. And why it is extraordinary, really, and even more damaging, is that it's halfway through a rare publicly notified application. So there's a double whammy in it, and it's bad news, a bad precedent, and it certainly will disadvantage ordinary citizens who normally have, for many, many decades now, had an opportunity to make their feelings felt at the local level before it goes into the appeal situation of formal court.
So given the likelihood that, you know, this would go to appeal anyway and go to the court, which really you're kind of starting the process anew then, aren't you? So the input that people would have had in the earlier part of the process in the end kind of comes to nothing anyway, doesn't it?
No, because if the case was strong enough, it could have been declined then and there. That's not impossible. We're dealing with another matter regarding Waiheke, namely Cactus Bay, and that was dealt with in secret in a later part of the agenda, but I can only tell you what they were dealing with. The news is not good there, but however, back in 2010, an application to build a house in Cactus Bay was declined at the local level, at a local resource consent hearing, when several Waiheke people made their feelings felt, and these concerns were upheld. Now, it doesn't happen too often, doesn't happen often enough, but it can happen. And so it conceivably could have happened in this case. But anyway, it won't be happening now. The development process is truncated. That means that these major decisions which impact on the environment are going to happen a whole lot more quicker. Again, you have to come back to this whole notion, this propaganda of New Zealand being clean and green and 100% pure, when we see the trend is actually away from that.
So in this process, there was a council officer report recommending that it did go through a full hearing. Obviously, a significant number of submitters. The argument the other side being the likelihood that it would go to appeal. One voice which was absent in there, and we have talked to Faith Storer earlier this morning about this, was the voice of the local board chair, who does have the ability to address the committee on these issues. Do you think that made a difference?
It had to make a difference, really. Everything, there's only one vote in it. It had to make a difference. And whether it made a difference or not is beside the point. The local board is the democratic voice of the community, and it should uphold that democratic process. In other words, whether the local board in their hearts want the marina to go ahead or not, that's beside the point. The point is they should have upheld the conventional standard process to enable as many Waiheke people as possible to have their say, and it's very disappointing that they didn't do that for some reason.
Have you got any sense why that would be the case? I mean, in other situations, is it usual for the board to take a position?
This is an unusual situation, but generally boards speak out on behalf of their community. Now, the community, to be fair, is somewhat divided, but a large majority of the people are against it. But again, whether you're for or against is beside the point. What the issue here is process, open and fair process, so that everyone can have their say, have their concerns expressed in the normal conventional way that we've had in New Zealand for many, many years under the Resource Management Act and the Town and Country Planning Act and before that. But for some reason, the board didn't feel the need to make any comment one way or the other on the process. So really, they sat on the fence.
So you played a role in getting a time shift to that part of the meeting so that people from Waiheke could attend?
Yes.
So the committee was open to representations around, local input?
I'm not a member of that committee. I wasn't appointed to that committee, but it seems to spend a lot of its time focusing on demolition of old buildings and Auckland Central or coastal development on Waiheke, so I really should be on the thing, but they let me come along and speak to it, and so I was able to speak and have my say, but it would have been good to have had the support of the local board. This was not a discussion for or against the marina. People have their positions. This was a discussion for or against due process when you're dealing with a major environmental impact and taking into account this is not urgent infrastructure. I mean, you could even argue the holiday highway is urgently needed, and that's going through a streamlined process. This is for recreational boating. It is not urgent, but the impacts will be significant. So extra care and time should be taken, the normal care and time should be taken in making that decision.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Mike. We'll let you get back to hammering your posts into the ground.
Yeah, I better swing my hammer.
All right, thanks very much.
See you.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.